Morning.
Good morning.
Oh, what sweet, sweet singing. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, church, for the way that you have lifted up your hearts to God, praising Him in song. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We want to welcome all of our guests who might be with us for the first time today. It is a great blessing to us to have you with us in our worship assembly today. And of course, our hope certainly is that by the end of our worship time that you will have been blessed by being here. And if you have any questions about this family here at Brooks Avenue, please feel free to speak to me or any of our members afterwards. If you would like to email me, please feel free to do that. DennisConner@brooks.org. It's very, very easy to remember. But we are so glad that you're here today. I want to thank Brian Cunningham for filling in for me 2 weeks ago, on very short notice when I had the flu. Still dealing with a little bit of that residual cough. I have a cough drop in my mouth, so if I happen to be standing here toward the front of the stage in a few minutes and I get a little excited and I'm talking and, you know, if cough drops ends up in your lap, hey, no, please take no offense at that, okay? And I thought Mike and Ron did a beautiful job last Sunday in sharing their heart with us about some of the things that they feel that we need to be aware of as the people of God and as the church. I'd like to ask you to bow with me briefly, please. Our Father, Almighty God, we're so humbled by your love for us, your mercy, your grace. And to be truthful, sometimes we cannot help but to wonder how you thought, even for a moment, that you could depend upon us to be your instruments in this world of seeing the world reconciled to you through Jesus. We are so flawed. We are so broken. And yet, you have chosen to highlight your reconciling mission for all ages through your church. And while on the one hand we may be incredulous that it is your plan to use us, yet on the other hand, we're inspired by that you believe in us so greatly. And so we ask you now, through your Spirit, through Jesus, to empower us, Father, to live out and to carry out the mission to which you've called us. In the name of Jesus, amen. For the past year, we've been refocusing on what it means to answer the call to follow Jesus as a disciple. We've talked about the need for a greater heart commitment to Jesus that leads to a greater life commitment to Jesus. And we've said at numerous times along the way that our purpose was not to make discipleship just merely one annual theme and then to move along to something else come 2019. But rather, what we have also been saying is that we are attempting something much more difficult than exciting people about an annual theme. What we are attempting is a culture shift in the life of the Brooks Avenue congregation. In trying to equip ourselves for this culture change, we have consulted with others, with other churches who are much further along this path than we are. Last October, some of the staff also attended the National Disciple Making Forum, a national event that focuses on equipping churches that seek to create a culture of disciple making and discipleship. So, in other words, we're trying to learn from people who are already walking where we want to walk. In addition to the teaching and preaching themes of the past year, the elders, the ministry staff, and others have been working together over the past few months to address three important questions: the questions of vision, mission, and values. With regard to vision, Noah, what do we want to be as a congregation? With regard to mission, what is it then that we are to do? And what are the values that we want to define us and that we want to guide us, the values that we aspire to as people of God here in this place? And it's the responses to those questions that I would like to share with you this morning as we seek to walk closer to Jesus on the path of discipleship. So first, let's deal with the vision question. What do we want to be as a church? If, by the grace and the power of God, we are successful in navigating this culture shift toward deeper biblical discipleship, then what will that look like? I mean, how will we know that we are actually being what we are called to be? Now, many churches, in answering that question, tend to focus on numerical aspirations. Now, I've known of churches through the years that have said, by 2000 and such, our vision is to be a church of 2,000 baptized believers. Well, so be it. I would pray that God would bless that vision. However, from where I sit, and this is just my simple observation, I don't know that we can dictate to the Holy Spirit how large we're going to be at any given time. I had a preaching brother many, many years ago who was told, you know, by the end of the year, we want to see a 20% growth in this congregation. I don't know that we can dictate that to any individual, much less to the Holy Spirit of God. So what should our vision be? Our vision here at Brooks Avenue, rather than focusing on numerical aspirations, focuses on a congregational character of Christ-likeness. So this is our vision for the church here at Brooks Avenue: one people growing together into the likeness of Christ. That's what we want to look like. Jesus, pure and simple. In Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin with verse 11, read through verse 13. We have this beautiful picture of what the leadership of a church is called to provide and of what we are all called to grow into as the body of Christ. It was he, that is Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So is it possible to measure spirituality? I mean, is it possible to measure spiritual maturity? I mean, objectively, how can we measure those things? Well, perhaps objectively, we may not be able to. So then how do we know what spiritual maturity looks like? Just this: spiritual maturity looks like Jesus. Am I thinking more the way Jesus thought? Am I loving the way Jesus loved? Am I caring the way Jesus cared? Am I obeying the way that Jesus obeyed? And here in this text, Paul states that this is what the church is moving toward until we all become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, growing into Christ's fullness. Now, imagine you're actually going to be asked to do this in your journey groups tonight, but imagine with me for just a moment what a church that looks like Jesus would look like. Dream about that. And be inspired by that dream. That's our vision. One people growing together into the likeness of Jesus. God's vision for his church is that we should be conformed to no less than, not my image of what we ought to be, not yours, but the image of Christ. We're going to ask Brother Lance to lead us in a prayer for that vision.
Thank you, Dennis. Let us pray. Dear God, our most ever-loving Father, we come before you with hearts filled with gratitude that you have made us your children. That, Lord, you have decided and determined that we would be your offsprings. And as your offsprings, just like our elder brother, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we should be the fullness of him. Of you. We thank you, dear God, that you started it out by just giving to us the righteousness that we could never attain by ourselves, try as we may. We thank you, dear God, that you gave us no less a person than your Holy Spirit to make this vision a reality, not just in our heads, but in our hearts and in our lives. Oh, Lord, we thank you. And we pray, dear God, that even as we look at you and we see our Savior denying himself of all the wealth that he held in your presence in heaven, humbling himself to the position of a servant, taking on the sins that we committed willfully. May we also see, Lord, like you pointed out to your disciples, that the field is white unto harvest. And so many of us are reluctant to put our pride on the line, to put ourselves aside, so that we can draw men unto you. Father, this is our desire, that we will be in the image and the likeness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That we would not, like John and James, just want the glory, but we will accept the suffering too. Father, speak to the heart of every single person here at Brooks Avenue. Show them your vision and let your spirit cause their hearts to soar into a commitment they never knew, that your name will be glorified as your image is marked in our lives. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
And then what are we to do as we pursue that vision? In other words, what is our mission? Now, there can be lots of ambiguity around that term, mission. And if you ask 10 different people what the mission of the church is to be, you just might very likely get 10 different responses. Well, actually, not just likely, almost most certainly you'll get 10 different responses. Now, one can make a case that glorifying God and enjoying Him forever is the mission of the church. Someone else might suggest that loving God and loving neighbor is the best description of our mission. For after all, Jesus Himself did say that these are the two great commandments, and everything else in the law and the prophets hinges on these two commands. And then someone else might suggest that biblical social justice is our mission. We're to be about the work of changing the world and its social structures so that the church in the world represents the will of God being done on earth. We could cite almost any element of faithful Christian living as what our mission is to be. However, if mission is simply a synonym for living a faithful Christian life, then there are dozens of ways to answer the question, what is the mission of the church? And can the mission even be summarized in one thing? Well, we think it can. And Jesus gave us His understanding of that mission in a text that sometimes I fear is way too familiar to us all, and yet it speaks to who we are to, not only who we are to be, but what we are to do as a people of God. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. So I invite you to look at that text with me yet one more time. Then Jesus came to them, to the disciples, and said, "All authority, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." We have had a mission statement for the last several years, moving people into a deeper relationship with God. However, we believe that we've come to that point where we need to revise that mission statement. It's fine so far as it goes, but perhaps a bit too vague as to what that actually involves. Our mission statement now becomes what Jesus has said all along it should be. Disciples making disciples by the power and presence of Christ. Now, making disciples is not merely about getting people to make a decision for Jesus. It isn't just about getting people converted. So maybe at this point it would be good for us to define what we mean by a disciple. What is a disciple of Jesus? And this will be our working definition, and this will help to guide us in carrying out our mission of being disciples who make disciples. A disciple is one who follows Jesus. If you can move to the next slide, please. A disciple is one who follows Jesus Christ in obedience to His teachings and conformity to His character. In verse 20 of Matthew 28, Jesus instructed the disciples as they make disciples to teach those disciples whom they make to obey everything I have commanded you. We follow Jesus in obedience to His teachings. And then in Romans 8, verse 29, a text that we've referenced numerous times before, the Apostle Paul writes there as he describes the grandness and the majesty of God's salvation in Jesus, writes that God has predestined us to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. In other words, again, we are called to be conformed to the character and the life and the heart of Jesus. In the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, in verse 40, Jesus reminded the folks, or as he spoke to the folks in that audience, he said, a student is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, shall be like his teacher. Jesus is drawing upon the popular concept of discipleship as it was known in his time and in his culture. As teachers and rabbis would gather disciples around themselves, they would learn his teachings, but they would also learn the character of their teacher and become like him. So what does that mean for Brooks Avenue? It means that as we strive to become a church focused on being disciples who make disciples, that we want to lead people into more than just making a decision. We want to lead them more to just initial conversion. But we want people to grow into the likeness of Jesus. That is our mission, to be disciples who make disciples. And we do it not in our own power, but rather we do it in the power and the promised presence of Jesus Christ. How do we make disciples? By teaching, by baptizing. But the mission is to make disciples. That's what we're called to do as followers of Jesus. Tyler Edwards writes that, quote, many people come to Jesus thinking it's enough to believe, to stand on the sidelines and root for him. But Jesus isn't looking for cheerleaders. He is seeking men and women who will follow him whatever the cost. He is looking for radical devotion, unreasonable commitment, and undivided dedication. A disciple is someone who finds their entire identity, purpose, and meaning in Jesus. Jesus is the center of their lives. They are all in, fully committed. End quote. 3 weeks ago, I stood before you, and as I began the message that morning, I shared that I was burdened, not for myself, but burdened for this church and this family. Why in the world? This is a great church. Yes. But is it possible? We have too many cheerleaders. Is that possible? And I'm burdened because as I speak with people and as I observe, I see Satan trying to divide us on many points and many fronts. Are we focused on our mission to make disciples and to be disciples, our calling? The mission of making disciples of Jesus, not by our power but his, does not negate or preclude any of the other things that we sometimes mistake for mission, things that I mentioned earlier. For instance, if we are disciples of Jesus who are being conformed to the likeness of Jesus, then we do care about the things that he cared about, and we embrace the values that he embraced. Glorifying God all of our lives and enjoying him, loving God and loving neighbor, caring about the marginalized and the devalued. Yet these are outcomes of the main thing, you see. As we pursue discipleship, to be disciples, and to lead others into a relationship with Christ in which they too become disciples. That's the mission. And as we pursue that mission, the other elements of the life of discipleship will come to the fore, Lord willing. We will love God with all of our being and love neighbor. We will care about the marginalized and the oppressed. Why? Because Jesus cared. But our mission is to make Christ followers. Someone said companies spend millions of dollars every year honing mission statements, and fast food restaurants post our mission on the wall to assure us that they're focused on serving us the best burgers in town. Even in the world around us, everyone understands that a mission is the primary thing you set out to accomplish. Go. Make disciples of all people. The church is sent into the world to witness to Jesus by proclaiming the gospel and making disciples of all people. That's our task. That's our unique calling. I'm going to ask Brother Mike Leffler to come pray for our mission statement.
Let's pray. Father, you have given us the gift of eternal life and forgiveness of sins through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that as we grow in the maturity of faith, that you would help us to make our every action, our every thought, our obedience to your word, conformed to the likeness of Jesus. That as we go into our neighborhoods, and go into our schools and go to our workplaces, that we would boldly proclaim your name and teach others about your saving grace. You have instilled in us your spirit. That is our identity. You have given us great power to proclaim your name. You are with us. One day, we will be in heaven together praising your name. But while we are here, we must tell others of you and the salvation that comes through your Son, Jesus. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And then we considered the values to which we will aspire, and values which will guide us in pursuing our mission and living out our vision to be one people growing together into the likeness of Jesus. Now, in going through this process, there were a few folks within the working group that had been assembled to lead us through this process who asked several others in the congregation, what do you think our values currently are? What do you think our values should be? And they came back with literally dozens of thoughts and ideas about what our values are, what our values should be. And so then we had the task of taking all of those dozens of ideas and thoughts and condensing them into something that we could live with and live by. And so we came up with these four values after much work and much prayer. These are the things that we value at Brooks Avenue and to which we aspire and to which we look to as guides. One, to live as family. Now, we understand And a lot of folks have negative experiences with families. No family is perfect. All families are dysfunctional to one degree or another. But yet, we're talking about the ideal of caring for each other, to which Jesus calls us. But it's not only about caring for each other and loving each other. I'm also intrigued by Jesus' understanding of family. In Matthew chapter 12, he was with a group of folks. And someone came and said, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside. They want to see us. And to some, Jesus might have seemed a bit dismissive there. But then Jesus said, he asked, who are my mother and my brothers? And then he said, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So as we speak of this value to live as family, we want to be one people, one family, living together in obedience to Jesus as our Lord. Value number two, to love selflessly. As Jesus said in Matthew 22, the greatest commandment is this, to love God with all of our being, and the second one like it, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We aspire to be greater lovers of God, greater lovers of neighbor. Value number three, to demonstrate authentic discipleship. If anyone would come after Jesus, we must deny ourselves and take up our crosses and follow Jesus every day. And value number four, to pray in all things. You look at the church in the book of Acts, the church in Jerusalem, church in Antioch. And one of the core values of the early church was the church praying together. We've talked about this so frequently, but it's just got to happen. I mentioned the discipleship conference that some of us went to last fall. And there was a preacher there by the name of Shadonke Johnson from Africa, who leads a church of several thousand people. And the key to it all, he said, is that they have a group of people who regularly fast and pray for the mission of the church. We want to be a people who pray in all things. I'd ask Brad to come forward and to lead us in a prayer for our values.
Let's all humble ourselves before the Lord. Father, we come before you in prayer, knowing that it's by your power that we can do anything. We know our weakness. You see our weakness. We see it in ourselves, and sometimes we see it in each other, Lord. But it is by your power that you have named us your children. It is by your power that you give us purpose for life. And the strength and the courage to carry that out, Father. Lord, we call upon you and we call upon your Spirit within us to enliven us, to give us the heart of Jesus, though we ourselves struggle with our own hearts, Father. You see us, you know us, and we seek the heart of Jesus, Father. In our weakness, we call upon you to help us to grow in the heart of Jesus so that we might love each other in a selfless way, that we might love everyone we meet in a selfless manner, such that they see a love in us that can only be named as from Jesus Christ. And let us name his name in that also. And Father, many of us have been together as a family here at Brooks Avenue for a long time, some for decades, some for maybe even days. But we are the family that you have called us to be, Lord. You have placed us by your providence with each other so that we might bring glory to you and to your name. And Father, we admit to you that we think in selfish ways, and we think in individual ways, and we think in self-protective ways, Lord. But we want better for ourselves. We ask you, Lord, to work within us by your Spirit, to set aside our selfish ways and our individual ways, and to act as family, to love as family, to have humility before each other as family, and to never give up on each other, Lord, even in difficult times. Lord God, we want to be people of action. We want to be people that demonstrate that we are disciples of yours, not just in word only, not in the things that we say, but in the things that we do, Father. Help us, Father, to put in action the things that are on our heart, to say yes to your Spirit when your Spirit calls us to take an action in your name, and not to deny your Spirit and live in selfish ways. Holy God, we need your power. We call upon your power to make us who you want us to be. We admit to you, Father, that we are sinful. You know us very well. But, Father, we also trust in your power and your salvation and the great might that you exert in us through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we can be better disciples and servants of yours. And this is what we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
So there you have it. That's our vision, our mission, our values. I'm excited about what they could mean for this church. And I pray with all my heart that you can get excited about that too. And that we can travel this path together. We can change the world by making disciples of Jesus. And perhaps that's where some of you are this morning. You're ready to make that commitment in repentance and baptism to begin the path of following Jesus. If we can help you with that, please come to me, and I forget who else is supposed to be down front with me this morning. But also, we will have people stationed all around the auditorium, facilitators who will pray with you, will pray for you. And I also want to encourage our prayer circles this morning to pray about our vision, our mission, and our values as we've shared them this morning. If we can help you in your walk with Jesus or to begin that walk, please share your need with us and your desire. Let's stand and sing together.